All right, for those who weren't here last week, if you look at the notes, you're going to see that there's some stuff, it just looks like it's just repetitive. If you listen on the internet and hear the lesson, you'll find some more points, but really it's to flood our minds with the Word of God, because there's such an onslaught against us that God does not speak, that can't be God speaking to you. I've shared a testimony about my uncle who got really fired up when I said God told me to move to Alliance. Oh yeah, I mean I've never seen red creep up in somebody's face that fast, and he was almost shouting at us. And I said, well, he did. I'm sure that didn't help things. I mean, what could I do but reaffirm it? But as you go through there, so I'd prefer to be thorough on notes than to leave things hanging. So if there's some stuff you think, man, there's just, he talked to this guy and he talked to this one. Yeah, we need to know that he was here, he was talking. All through history, he's been talking to us. And so we left off on, I believe it's page 10. I just read the scripture out of 1 Corinthians 2:16 about the Holy Spirit ministering to us. He teaches us the things of God, and that we have the mind of Christ. The original meaning on your notes there, under mind, of nous is inner sense directed on an object. And from this come such meanings as sensation, power, perception, mode of thought. The main nuances are mind, insight, understanding, judgment, and meaning. There's a typo from my dictionary. I just copied it straight out of the dictionary for you guys. So we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind, the insight, the understanding, the judgment of Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit doing this, revealing the thoughts, understanding, or mind of Christ to us. It's God's desire that we would know the things that he's freely given us. I mean, that's what this biggest part of this teaching is, to reinforce in us. God is always desiring to communicate to us, constantly. And we've had testimonies of God answering what seem like little stupid things. Why? Because he cares about our lives. We've had God answer big things. We've had God give direction, guidance. But a lot of times we still kind of struggle in between, going, is that God speaking to me? Is this really God's will? And so I'm hoping these principles just reinforce the one fact that God is desiring to speak to us. And there has to be some way for us to understand what the thoughts of God are. It's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. At this point, some would say that it's through the written word. Some churches believe that God doesn't speak anymore because we have everything here. Well, everything that we have here says God speaks today. So we can't go by boxing God up and saying, well, we have the Word, the Holy Spirit's not speaking, he's not revealing things. He is. And everything that the people that claim that, if they read it, it says he's speaking to us. In Amos 4:13, it says, for behold, he who forms the mountains, creates the wind, declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness, treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts is his name. Now, there's two interpretations on this particular scripture by commentators. Because it says, he declares to man what is his thought. And in Psalm 139, it says that God knows the thoughts of man. And so they kind of lean towards the fact that God knows what's in the heart of man, which is a biblical concept. But the other side of it is reading it the way it's there, that God declares to man what his thoughts are. And that's also a biblical concept. I can run with either one because they're both validated, but I lean towards the fact that in this scripture, he is saying God reveals his thoughts to mankind. And he has to do that through the Holy Spirit, because Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he'll have mercy on him. To our God he'll freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts and your thoughts. If they're so far apart, how would we ever know what he's thinking without the Holy Spirit? We can't. So God does share his thoughts with us. These next verses use the Hebrew word kaud, and the primary meaning of the word is confidential speech, to speak secretly, hence counsel. The emphasis on confidentiality marks a distinction between this word and the more general advice or counsel. It's a confidentiality. And the first verse there, Psalm 25:14, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. He shares with us the confidential things of the covenant that he has with us. He reveals them to us. It's an intimate sharing. In Proverbs 3:32, for the perverse are an abomination, extremely disgusting, and detestable to the Lord, but his confidential communion and secret counsel are with the uncompromisingly righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with him. New American Standard says he's intimate with the upright. He's the one who reveals himself and his heart to man as we walk with him. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to take these scriptures and just start adding them up in your mind as you're going along to reinforce the fact that it's not one scripture out of context that says God speaks to us. You'll see it over and over as we go through that God is speaking. How many hear him all the time? I'm talking to the right group then. There's times I don't hear him, because of my own attitude at a time, my own carnality at a time. Sometimes I'm looking for him to speak one way and he's doing something else and I'm looking over here, so I'm not hearing him. I'm not seeing him. And we're going to cover the various ways that God desires to minister to us. In Jeremiah 23:16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the false prophets who prophesy to you. They teach you vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility, and fill you with vain hopes. They speak a vision of their own minds and not from the mouth of the Lord. They're continually saying to those who despise me and the word of the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone who walks after a stubbornness of his own mind and heart, no evil will come on you. Who among them has stood in the council, that confidential speech of the Lord, that he should perceive and hear his word? Who's marked his word, noticing, observing, giving attention to it, has actually heard it? If they had stood in my council, they would have caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned my people from their evil way, from the evil of their doings. The false prophets have not stood in the sweet counsel of the Lord, and they weren't speaking his heart. Because if they'd have heard his confidential counsel, they would have heard his heart, which is, turn away from the wicked things you're doing. Walk with me. Well, God's speaking that to the prophet. He's speaking to a human who's standing in the counsel of God. Jeremiah was hearing from the Lord. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. That's that same word, confidential speech. In Job 29:4, as I was in the prime ripeness of my days, when the friendship and counsel of God were over my tent, Job had a wonderful... Is that an amen? Job had a wonderful relationship with the Lord before his trials. These verses were dealing with the confidential speech that the Lord desires to have with us. Job was saying, man, I can turn my page. The friendship and counsel of God were over my house. He's just with me. That's what the Lord wants us to realize. I mean, we do. I'm reiterating stuff that you guys already know, but I feel in good company because Peter said, I'm reminding you of these things even though you know them. Because we need to hear it over and over again to reinforce it in our hearts, to see it clearly, to challenge us to look at our own lives and see what's going on. So here's some other scriptures showing the desire of the Lord. Proverbs 1:23, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. You say, oh, wait, that's Proverbs. That's talking about wisdom. Wisdom would have done this. Well, who's wisdom in the Bible? Who's made wisdom unto us and redemption and sanctification? Christ. So I believe this is showing the heart of the Lord. He's saying, man, if you had just responded, I'd have poured out my heart to you. I mean, we got to look at that. I'm more of a hold it in type guy. I mean, I'm not running around blobbing about, oh, I got this going on. I mean, I just kind of suck it up and move on. That's just my personality. That's something God's trying to break down. It's not a good thing in some ways. But have you ever had somebody that you could just pour out your heart to? And there's such a sweet relationship that's there. And that's what God's saying. He says, man, if you just do what I want you to do, I'd have poured out my heart to you. I'd like to see what's in God's heart. Because the stuff that he's given us so far in salvation and through his grace are wonderful. Psalm 103, verse 7. He revealed his plans to Moses and let the people of Israel see his mighty deeds. Well, Moses got to see the mighty deeds, but he got to hear the plan. I'm kind of that way. I like to see the plan to be able to move with it. It makes it a little bit easier. God was revealing his plans to Moses. This is a different word, secret, but it shows God's a revealer. In Daniel 2:29, as you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation, that you may understand what went through your mind. God was speaking to the mind of a heathen king. He's a revealer of mysteries. How much more to his children? He wants to talk to us. That's why we need to see these things and go, God, you're talking to a heathen king. I'm not hearing you, if that's your struggle. And you say, I'm setting myself before you. Don't sit there and argue with God. I'm not hearing you, and you need to speak up to me. He's probably saying, I've been talking to you all along, but you're bending your ear that way. But we come to him if we open up our heart and say, God, I'm struggling in this. I don't understand it. I'm seeking you in your word. I want to learn your voice. Teach me. Come to him with an attitude of desire and wanting to learn the things that he has for you. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. King James, he that has my commandments, keeps them, is he that loves me. He'll be loved by my Father. I'll love him, will manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself unto us, not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not doesn't keep my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I've spoken to you, being yet present, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said. So Jesus himself says, the Father and I are going to come and make our dwelling right inside of you, and I will disclose myself. And that word means to let oneself be intimately known and understood. I have a hard time with people who say God doesn't speak today. Jesus is saying, I will live inside of you, and I will let myself be intimately known by you. He's wanting to share the secrets of his heart with us. You say, well, he won't do it to me. I've only been saved 3 weeks. Make a bet? The only time I heard the audible voice of God was about the third week I'd been saved. I don't know why he chose to speak to me, but he did. I was a babe. I was a demented rebel before then, and yet he could speak into my heart and speak in a way that I would hear him. Soon as you get saved, and we're going to get to that, you begin your journey on learning and having the mind of Christ, where he can speak to you. So that word manifest or disclose also means to make visible, to demonstrate, to declare, to set forth, to lay open to view, make visible. And it's through the Comforter who's going to teach us and bring all these things to our remembrance. So it's obvious that this would be communicated to us in a way that we would know and understand. Jos mä puhun teille suomeksi, ei kukaan täällä ymmärrä. I'm speaking in Finnish. I said, if I talked in Finnish, none of you would understand what I'm saying. I could sit up here and talk all I want to, and you'd walk away going, and God's speech is not that way. He wants to make it clear. He wants to make it concise. I haven't had too many individual words of knowledge like Bill has on where his stolen bicycles were. That's concise, okay? Lord, where's our bikes? Oh, they're over there. go over there. Oh, there's the bikes. That wasn't a life-changing event in the sense of a stolen bike. What's spiritual about a stolen bike? But it's God speaking to the needs that we have on this earth. Isaiah 45:19. I like this. I have not spoken in secret in a corner of the land of darkness. I did not call the descendants of Jacob to a fruitless service, saying, seek me for nothing, but I promised them a just reward. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, the truth, trustworthy, straightforward correspondence between deeds and words. I declare things that are right. He didn't hide it. He said, I haven't spoken in secret. I'm making things well known. And here's one of my favorites from the New Testament. One of my favorites. I can't, I don't have just a select few. It's like a lot of them speak to me tremendously. Hebrews 4:7. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it what? Today. What day? Today. When a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you read his word and get everything out of it, you won't have to hear his voice. No, it says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So he's saying, you should be hearing him. That's an encouragement to me. Because I'm living in today. I'm living in that day. And I believe I can prove scripturally that he was speaking about the fact that we're in that day in Christ. We're here and we need to not harden our hearts to hearing his voice like the children of Israel did. John 10:14 says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice and they will become one flock with a shepherd. We're in that today, folks. That is so encouraging. I can take that and say, God, I'm in your today. I'm not hearing from you, so show me how I'm blinded. Show me how I'm not listening to you. Instruct me. Minister to me. Lead me to a path that I can begin to hear you in a greater way. In Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will hide myself. And no, I will answer. While they're speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 30:19. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Well, if he wants to. No, it says as soon as he hears, he will answer. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you'll see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you'll defile your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold, throw them away as a menstrual cloth and say to them, away with you. Isaiah 58:9. Then you will call, and the Lord will think about it. Are you seeing how many scriptures just talk about you call, he'll answer? And this is by no stretch everything that's in the scripture. I'm giving you a token compared to what's in the Word of God. And all this is building up to the fact of how we are actually going to hear, and we're going to have some practical stuff in here. But if you don't believe that he really wants to speak to you, then you're not going to be pursuing him, and you're not going to really hear him because you're going to be doubting the whole time that, well, is that God? Would he really speak to me? Yes, he will. So then you'll call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help. He'll say, here am I. And this was spoken to those who were fasting and seeking God with a sincere heart. Ezekiel 12:25. But I, the Lord, will speak what I will. And he's good at that. He can do what he wants. He said, I'll speak what I will, and it'll be fulfilled without delay. In your days, you rebellious house, I will fulfill whatever I say, declares the sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies about the distant future. Therefore say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the Lord. So his message to this rebellious people was that he would not put off what he was speaking, but it'd take place. It's a negative context, but God was desirous to speak and have them hear him. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. That's my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. So he's not only speaking to us about the things in our lives, he's willing to tell us about things to come in the days ahead. No, he's not a genie in a bottle. You say, well, am I going to have a new house in 10 years? Those types of questions are foolish, and I think we all know that, but we also know that there are many people who look to God as a genie in the bottle. Through their prayers, their communion, it's like, give me, give me, give me. What he wants to do is communicate his thoughts to us so that our hearts and minds are renewed to think like him, and so we can do the things that he wants us to do. Included in that will be many blessings that we get, whether you get a house, a car, a job, whatever, the things that we need for life. He gives us things that we can enjoy or need. But the biggest purpose he wants to speak to us is to take his thoughts and see them lived out in our lives. So we all know that those who are born again already have the Spirit of God living in them. He wants us to know what's freely given to us, and the one teaching us is the Holy Spirit, and we have to recognize his ways of communicating with us. The scriptures have shown that the Lord reveals his thoughts to men, that his communicating is not done in secret, that he reveals things that have not happened yet. He wants to show and reveal what his covenant is, that we might walk in the fullness of it. How anyone can say that God doesn't speak to us anymore is beyond me and beyond the Word of God itself. I think the church does not comprehend. I'm not going to put a percentage on it. I don't think the church comprehends a big fraction of what this new covenant entails for us. If all of us did, our lives would be vastly different. Mine would be vastly different. I've studied and I see this, the grace of God and what it encompasses. And it draws me, but yet at the same time, I'm still having to put off things in my own heart, my own life.
And so I know I'm not there because I'm struggling with some of those areas. Going off track a little bit, what about the fact that we are dead with Christ? I mentioned it Sunday, dead men have no rights. If we don't have any rights, why do we feel it's right that we get angry at other individuals that step on our toes? Well, I have a right to be angry. And there are times, I believe scripturally, that anger is there. But I'm talking about how we justify. Well, I'm not going to talk to them. They can just go pound salt. I don't care. And we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Relationships. Dead men don't have those rights. Dead men don't have feelings. If we were living that, do you think relationships within the church would be different? So see, even in our church, I don't think we have really grasped a hold of it. And he's desiring to reveal the fullness of his covenant to us and what it means to walk with him, what it means to die to yourself and how to do it, how to overcome the struggles that you're having. He wants to help us along the way. I'm not saying you're going to be changed in 3 days. 12 steps to change and you'll be like Christ. It's not there. But he wants to teach us what he's given us and how it really applies in the things that we do. Some of that stuff, he's ministering to us on a regular basis. When you're upset with somebody and you're thinking about what a jerk they are, and that still small voice is just going, why don't you go and tell them you're sorry? And we feel this anger rising up, and we're not really sure what it is. It's anger at just the thought that we should go and apologize when they're the jerk. God's saying, go humble yourself. And see, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. And if we go, okay, Lord, I really don't feel like this, but this must be dying to myself. I'll go and be the one trying to reconcile. And you find out your relationship begins to thrive with that person. Well, if you allow those personal feelings without, because there are times when God speaks loudly. It's in the scripture. His voice booms. It's thundering. There's other times. It's him. It's very soft. He's just speaking to your heart. Looking to see, are you going to make the choice to listen? Or just hang on to your own feelings. So he's trying to reveal a lot of stuff to us. So here's some scriptures. Some of these are referenced. They're in the New Testament, but they're from the Old. We see that God never changes. In Hebrews 1:10. And further, you, Lord, did lay the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain and continue permanently. They all grow old and wear out like a garment, like a mantle thrown about oneself. You'll roll them up and they'll be changed and replaced by others. But you remain the same, and your years will never end nor come to failure. So God remains the same. He doesn't grow feeble. He doesn't grow old. Not like us. You start feeling it as you age. But his character and his nature don't change either. God is still the same. So if he desired to communicate with his people and to individuals in the past, doesn't he still desire to do so? Yes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the Messiah is always the same, yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. So he never changes, and all the promises that he made are still good for us. The Old Testament, as well as Jesus himself, speak of the coming of the Spirit and of his revealing truths to us. That hasn't changed. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to be speaking to us. God himself. 2 Timothy 3:16. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, profitable for instruction, reproof, conviction of sin, correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Lord never changes, and his word is inspired by him that we might be instructed in how to walk with him. This includes knowing that he desires to communicate with us. The word of God teaches us so much. It's God revealing himself. But he also reveals that, hey, I want you to also hear me because I'm living inside of you. I'm wanting to talk to you. He communicated in times past. He's communicating today. All right, so now we're going to start looking at some ways that the Lord did communicate. In Hosea 12:10, I spoke to the prophets, gave them many visions, and told parables through them. In Numbers 12:6, and he said, hear now my words, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, will speak to him in a dream. So visions, parables, and dreams by the prophets was one of the ways that he spoke to mankind. In Acts 2:16, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I must not be old yet because I don't dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So the spirit would be poured out on some people. All people. It's those little words that we need to really get rooted in our heads to convince us where God's speaking, just like he would that all men would be saved. That's his desire. Is he just desiring that some would be saved? No, he desires that all men would come to him, but he knows they're not going to. But he desires that they all repent. He's poured out his spirit on all people that come to him. It wouldn't only be the prophets or kings, but all men and women. They'd have prophecies, dreams, visions. How do you know what to prophesy unless you're hearing something? You don't just make this stuff up. We read in Jeremiah where they were prophesying out of their own heart. Yeah, you can stand there and say stuff, but that doesn't mean God's behind it. He wants us to hear him. How many people want to be used in spiritual gifts? Okay. We learn to hear him. I want to be used in some other spiritual gifts. I'd like to see the gifts of healing and working miracles go. And I don't really care if I'm the one. I see somebody else using it. It's like, yes, God is here. He's moving. He's showing himself alive like he said he would. Somebody's going to be talking to him, saying, Lord, I'm listening. We've got some people with some serious illnesses in our church. We believe in healing. We don't always see it happen immediately. We have seen stuff happen. I'm just being honest. So where can that change? by all of us learning to hear him more clearly and being able to be bold enough to speak what he speaks to us. I talked last week, you know, it's real nice when you hear Bill's testimonies about, because there's several new people here, Bill's testimonies about being at the hospital and just praying for somebody and seeing them get healed. But you got to put yourself in his shoes. You're standing there and he's praying quietly at first and nothing's happening. And then it just boils up inside of him. There's nurses and stuff standing around. You know, I'm doing this number, kind of like, you know, what are they doing? Bill just kind of like, oh, for Pete's sake, in the name of Jesus, just be healed. Well, you look pretty stupid if they're not healed, aren't you? But he was hearing God saying, pray for him. He got tired of being mamby-pamby about it. It's like, well, God said to do it, just do it. That's the hard part, because our brains are going, oh, what's this doctor who just walked in going to think of me? Oh, and that nurse that's over there, and oh, the family member that's sitting there that's not saved. Oh, I'll come back later. What I'm saying is God speaks to us, but sometimes we're in a position where our hearts are going, oh, I don't know about this. And we have to learn the confidence in him and that fact that we're hearing his voice so that we'll do those things, that we'll speak up when he tells us to. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy, that you're going to feel like, I got this. Because if you walk in that way, you're probably not hearing the right thing. So we're talking about something that's very important, but sometimes putting it into practice has to come from a heart issue where you're confident that that's what he told me, that's what I'm going to do, I don't care how foolish I look. And we do that by learning to hear him on a daily basis. We learn by responding to him, becoming faithful to him. And again, you don't have to be old in the Lord. You might be young in the Lord, and God says, tell that person they're going to get up out of that bed. You know, if he tells you to do that, go ahead and do it. But you've got to discern that that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know his voice. You know that's him. Who am I to stop God because of my natural inclinations of, oh, that wouldn't be proper. That just wouldn't look nice at this time. There's a lot of times that things just don't look right. But God wants to do what he wants to do. I've got to learn that as well. I'm still learning it. In Acts 8:29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And in Acts 10:19, while Peter was still thinking about this vision that he saw, the Spirit said to him, Simon, 3 men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them. The Holy Spirit, it just says the Spirit spoke to them. And we'll get into a little bit more practical on hearing the Spirit. It's somewhat subjective with each individual, but there are biblical realities that we can keep it channeled and in focus. So we've got visions, parables, dreams, the Spirit himself. You know, you see a guy ride riding on his chariot or maybe stopped for a water break. You ever feel weird about going up to strangers? I've got personality. I could be a wallflower, actually. I don't do a lot of chit-chat. Kirk, Bill Powell, and others, I mean, they can just start talking to people, chat up a storm. I'm like, hi, how you doing? Oh, good. Nice weather we got today, huh? I'm out. I'm dry unless I'm talking about the Lord. And so for him to just tell me, go up that chariot and just join it. Hi. How you doing? Nice weather for a walk, isn't it? Philip just said, okay. And he hears the guy reading scripture. The guy goes, man, who's he talking about? Yeah, I can answer that one for you. Now, see, I could join in at that time. But that initial getting to know the person a little bit, it's rough for me. I'd rather grow hair and have to get haircuts. So God wants to change us. So this stuff is speaking to me. Numbers 22:32, the angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. In Luke 1:19, the angel answered, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. God spoke through the angels. He still does that. I've never had an angel speak to me. I'm not really sure I want to, because I don't think they're the little ladies in white gowns with wings that just, they look like some pretty big, awesome dudes in the scripture. And I'm not really sure. I mean, if one comes, I'd... What are you going to do, stop God? But I haven't had that. But it is one of the means that he does speak to his people. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each person the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. Talking about spiritual gift. And I'm from this handbook, God gives each person some proof of the Spirit's presence to be used to help the whole church. He divides the gifts to manifest himself, whether it's through prophecy, tongues, interpretation, gifts of healing, working of miracles, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. When he's doing that, you can say, oh, another prophecy. We had a prophecy last week. Prophecy is God speaking to us for a reason. Somebody's hearing the Spirit speaking, encouraging them. Can we miss it on prophecy? Yeah, but we have a multitude of elders and individuals in the church who are all discerning it according to the Word of God, trying, okay, yes, that's scriptural, that's principle, trying to weigh out whether it's the Spirit of God moving behind it or whether it's just kind of an exhortation from their own heart, which it's fine to be an exhortation, but we just call it an exhortation. If it's a prophecy, then we call it a prophecy, and we try and discern that. And Kirk has had, I don't know if Bill's going to share at his spiritual gifts seminar, but there's been times where Bill was just getting ready to get up and speak, and Kirk just turned to him and said, don't speak, Bill. That was the Spirit of God speaking to Kirk, telling Bill, not now. But Bill had some, and so I have a confidence in the fact that through the body of Christ here, the errors would be at a minimum. Because again, we're human. I'm not saying that we're running 100%. I'm not sure I could say that. But I believe if there are things we're missing, it's at a minimum because of the diligence that we try to pay to that. Along with the fact that if the elders don't catch it, usually somebody in the body will come and say, "Hey, did they say this?" We've got people with ears that are listening. But prophecy, tongues, interpretation, that's God showing I'm here. That's why in Thessalonians it says, don't despise prophecy. Hold fast to that which is good. Judge it. Take the good stuff there. A prophecy is given through you, me, individuals who are like pipes. But we're not like brand new pipes that you get at the store. We've got some crud and corrosion in those pipes from our past lifestyle. And the word that God gives kind of gets filtered through all of that, and we're trying, as it comes through, to take out the personal and just hear the voice of God and speak it expressly. And individuals will speak differently because they have different personality, different character. God will do things differently with prophecy. God gives... Bill's had whole prophecies given to him before he ever comes to church. I don't get that. I get a thought, an impression, a certain direction. It's like, okay, you start to speak that and the rest will come. But I've gotten used to that. I mean, that's how the Holy Spirit taught me when I first got saved and started getting used in spiritual gifts. So that's why I'm saying some things are subjective. You'll hear somebody saying, well, this is how the Spirit speaks to me. You're going to find there's differences in all of our individual hearts, characters, the way we receive. It's encouraging to hear other people's testimonies. But what he's wanting you to learn is how he's speaking to you. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute break here.